Hi, welcome to Which Way Magics. Ever wondered if magic was real? Well, tune in, because I'll be sharing my real-life stories of my journey in witchcraft with no frills or exaggerations, just the straight-up truth of what happened after I cast that spell, or summoned that spirit, or even those times I've gone full-blown Nancy. So buckle up, there's over 20 years of stories, and I'm telling them all. Before I start, I'd like to pay my respects to the Turrbal and Yagara people, their ancestors, spirits, elders, past, present, and emerging, on whose land I record this podcast. Hey guys, so this episode is going to be about spirit work. Oh, okay, so there's so much to cover, I couldn't possibly cover it all in one episode, so I'll just sum up, I guess, my interactions with spirit in relation to my witchy path, my magical path. So I grew up seeing spirits, you know, having visions and sensing entities and all of that sort of stuff. I'll get into that in another video, maybe want to do like a ghost video or something. But it wasn't until my early 20s that I actually started to work with spirit in a very tangible way. Before then, I don't know why, I always shied away from gods and goddesses. And I think it was because they wanted me to feel alone. They wanted me to fly solo so that I would figure out magic in the way that I figured it out, which was by trial and error. And they had their hand in that. Like from that first episode that I mentioned, how we did that offering to the gods randomly, well, I did when I was 10. That called them in, and they were watching me ever since then. I think they were watching me before then, and they were just kind of waiting for me to, you know, give the okay, give the signal to come in. And when I did, they watched over me and guided me in ways, when I look back, it blows my mind, the things that I did spell-wise, magically, you know, magically speaking, that didn't backfire, that didn't mess my life up in ways that were unrepairable. And there was a few moments where I look back and I'll do an episode on miracles, because it's a miracle that I'm here, and that'll be in another episode. But so they've been looking out for me up until I was ready to actually work with them, and I had to sort of fly alone, so I did that. Then in my early 20s, I started working on my chakras, and that was a really amazing experience. Working with chakras changed my life. It really helped me deal with the abuse that was going on at home and within certain friendships. It really ramped all of my gifts up. That's the one thing I noticed, is meditation really, really supercharges your psychic abilities and your magical practice, because when your psychic abilities increase, your ability to sense energy and work with energies also increases. And I find that meditation, psychic abilities specifically, play a crucial role in spirit work. You can get by without working on psychic abilities, and you can still interact with spirit and have them working in your life in a way that you can witness and, you know, validate and verify that they are actually listening. But if you're a witch and you want to really, really go as deep as you can when it comes to spirit work, you need to be working on your psychic abilities. Because it's not just, you know, for example, I'm clairvoyant. That naturally runs in my family. It's a very strong gift within the family. And I could, so say way back when, before I started working my chakras, before I started working with any type of spirit, I could see things. That doesn't necessarily mean that I understood them. It didn't necessarily mean that I could sense their intention. It just meant I have very clear spiritual sight. I can see spirits. I get visions very clearly. I dreamwalk. I do all sorts of different things. But unless I'm working on my clairsentience and my all my other clairs, I can't fully interpret that information unless, well, I can, but it takes a lot longer. I have to then go into tarot. I have to then ask for signs. I then have to, connect all the dots. But with psychic ability, when you work on becoming well-rounded as a witch, I think psychic ability is one of the most crucial parts. Because it's not just spirit work, it's energies. You'll sense when you're walking into a place and the energy's really stagnant. Or there could be a negative spirit there. So your psychic senses will be your alarm, it will be your security, it'll be your defense. It'll also be the thing that enables you to genuinely connect with spirit in a way where you don't need any sort of extra information. Like, you don't need signs, you don't need a priest, you don't need somebody else to tell you what's going on, because you can just get it straight from the horse's mouth. Now, I'm not saying don't go to people higher up in whatever spiritual system it is that you practice. I'm just saying that once you enable your psychic abilities to a degree where they can be relied on, it will enhance your spiritual path. It will fast track your craft and enhance it in such a way that you don't need books. You could ask your spirit to be like, "Hey, how do I do this? What's this about?" And you'll just get the straight up truth about whatever it is that is going on. Or if, say, if you do have a higher up, or even if it's just like a book, whoever is mentoring you, whoever is guiding you, you could ask spirit, be like, "Hey, is what they taught me, true or good for me? Maybe there's something better out there, and if there is something out there that's better suited for me, could you please bring it to me or highlight to me, show me, tell me in whatever way what that is, so I can help improve my life." And they will, but you need to have clarity. And the clarity comes from meditation. And some people are like, "Oh God, meditation, I can't do it." You can do it. There are so many forms of meditation. You don't have to sit there chanting Om Mani Padme Hum or like working through every chakra. You could just go for a walk and just say, "Spirit, I'm dedicating this time as a meditative time," and just walk. Just walk and try to keep your mind clear as you can. And pay attention. Sometimes people are like, "Oh, I can't concentrate because, these thoughts just keep popping into my head and I can't stop thinking about, this bitch from work or something." That could be part of the meditation. It could be that spirit is trying to highlight in your mind by bringing these things, because that's like, to bringing these things to the forefront, because that is exactly how psychic ability works. It can be as subtle and as, basic, I guess, as that, as okay, maybe you prayed about something and you said, "Spirit, I really want you to help guide me to becoming a better psychic." Next thing you know, for the next week or two, all you can think about is something negative. That negative thing is probably what spirit is trying to get you to clear out of your life or address, so that you can become a better psychic, so that you can become a clearer channel. And it's this benefit that really comes in handy with the craft when you truly connect with spirit and develop that relationship, develop that rapport. And like all physical relationships, you develop what is called psychic cords, or just spiritual cords, energetic cords. These cords are real. And the more that you develop a relationship with someone, the more time you spend with them in their presence, mingling energies. Because when you focus on something, or you communicate with something or someone, you are creating an energetic bond. It's kind of like the neurons in the brain, the neural pathways of the brain. Negative or positive thought patterns become more and more frequent, and your brain will click over to those pathways the more they are used. So that's why, if you want to have a habit, you've got to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it before that neural pathway becomes something that your brain just automatically goes, "Okay, yeah, that's easy. We'll just go this way." And it'll send the signal through there because it's so commonly used. It's the same with spirit. I mean, God, don't quote me on that, because I need to go over all my studies. I'm first year nursing, so from the brief time I studied neurology, that's what I remember. Anyway, my point is, I know for a fact that when you develop a relationship with anyone, when you think about calling someone, you send out psychic cords. And the stronger the bond, the longer the period of time the relationship is developed over, the thicker and stronger those cords become, the harder they become to break, which can be a good thing or a bad thing depending on the relationship, which is why we can't get our ex-partners out of our heads or friends that we've just had a falling out with out of our heads, is because we've got all these cords still and you need to do cord cuttings, which I do routinely. And I would recommend you also do routinely. Building the relationship with your spirits is crucial because it will strengthen these psychic cords. I've seen these cords, and that's how I know these cords are real. Because, you hear about spiritual cords, cord cutting, that sort of thing. I just thought it was like a concept of energy. Like, it was just kind of the concept of connecting energies and breaking that connection. But they're literal cords. Like, they are energetic cords that create that connection. So here's how I figured that out. I was laying on my bed one day after work. I was so tired. And I remember thinking, like, I don't normally lay on my bed like that. But my eyes were kind of just starting to sort of close. And I was aware of my surroundings, but I knew that I'd be falling asleep pretty soon. And all of a sudden, I saw these probably like, I want to say like about seven-ish cords, all kind of together, like all running parallel with each other, coming in the exact same fashion and movement all together. It was like this squiggle of cords. Like, my eyes were shut and I just clearly saw them, clairvoyantly, obviously, but they came in and they just went zzz, poof, and straight through my heart. Connected, and like I tangibly felt it. I went, and it kind of like took my breath away. And I sat up and I remember thinking, whoa, what was that? And then 2 seconds later, my phone rings and my partner at the time he was calling me. So that's how I was like, whoa, what were those tubey things? I call them tubes because they look more like tubes to me. Like, that's kind of the size of them. I wouldn't really say cords, but I get, it doesn't matter. Cords, tubes, pipes, whatever you want to call them. The energetic pathways that connect us, they're very real and they look like cords or tubes. So, when you develop your relationships with anyone, human, incarnate, disincarnate, it doesn't matter, disembodied, whatever, these cords connect us, and the more we spend time with and communicate with each other, these cords strengthen, and these cords are what we send and receive energy over. Psychic vampires, that's how they siphon off of our energy. And the more time we spend around them, the more we find them draining, and the more drained we become by them. So if you've got like a friend where you say like small doses, that's because that friend has psychic cords that will wrap around you and just suck the life out of you, quite literally. And that's why you feel so tired. And you're like, oh my God, I love them. They're a beautiful person, but I just can't, I just feel so drained around them. It's not their fault. Usually people aren't aware of these things, but you need to take steps to protect yourself as well. So the type of spirits you want to be connecting with are the ones that love and aid you. So when I pray, I say things like, I call upon my ancestors, my guardians and guides, my spirits, the ones who love and aid me, to help me get through the day or whatever it is. But I always specify that it's the ones that love and aid me. It has to be the two. It has to be love, because you could be calling ancestors and be like, I call upon my ancestors, every one of my ancestors stretching back to the beginning of time. And you might think, oh, that feels witchy and powerful. And you might feel that energy coursing through your body in that ritual or in that space that you're in. You probably are feeling that energy, and you probably are feeling some really intense power right now. But what you don't realize is, if you're calling every ancestor back from the beginning of time, you're calling anyone, anyone. There could be earthbound spirits that are stuck here, that are willingly here, that can't leave because they're miserable, and they've been, over time, they've just turned rotten, they've turned feral. in a sense, because they're just so miserable and isolated and alone, which is sad. And you can do some healing work for them. We'll get into that in a whole other episode. But if they haven't been healed, if they are crazy, they could be violent. You're calling them back and you don't know who you're calling back. You might be related to some pretty messed up people. I'm pretty sure I've got some pretty crazy, crazy people in my past, in my ancestral tree. But I've also got some amazing, beautiful people. So I call the ones that love and aid me when I call my ancestors. And make sure that you do too. Make sure that you specify what type of ancestors you're calling in. They are listening. Spirit is listening. And I don't mean that in like a creepy, they're listening. Look behind you. But like, they pay attention. Spirit pays attention. The universe pays attention to the words that you use. Words do hold power. Now, gods and goddesses tend to have, and our spirits, our ancestors, all of them, they tend to be lenient with us when we're addressing them. That's why it's important to build this relationship, because when you ask for something that's not for your highest good, if you make the assumption that you know what's best for you, which you, to be honest, you may do. I'm not saying you don't. You may do. But if you don't, and you're unaware that you don't, spirit will be able to help guide you in a way that's not going to get you fucking yourself over, which can happen. Not just as a witch, as any spiritual person. You might get a Christian or anyone. I say Christian because, again, I'm ex-Christian from years back. But you may get a Christian walking into a spiritual scenario or a setting, some sort of situation that's going on that's very dangerous, and they may make a mistake. They may make the assumption that if I go in with the Bible and pray these psalms, that everything's going to be fine. That is not always the case. Some dark spirits will just absolutely laugh you out of the room if you walk in praying with rosary beads and holy water and shit. They will laugh you out of that room and they will fuck you up, because not every spirit can be controlled with every, you know, there's not a one size fits all when it comes to dealing with spirit. So when you're dealing with spirit, you need to know your shit. You need to be able to banish what you summon. You need to know how to banish what you summon. If you don't, my God, they could knock you down to the point where you can't even get back up to research how to banish them. So be careful. There are as many temperaments out there in the spirit realm as there are in this physical realm. Probably more. There are probably more types of personalities and categorizations of types of spirits than there are forms of life on this planet. So, like, you need to know what you're doing. You don't want to be using things like Ouija boards, because, like, and not just Ouija boards. Everyone freaks out about Ouija boards, pendulums. It's not the Ouija board or the pendulum or the tarot cards that cause people havoc. It's the intention of the people connecting with those spirits, sending out those psychic cords to literally anyone. So when they're doing any form of spirit work, divination, spirit communication, what have you, if someone's intention is just, you know, whoever's there, let me know, I want to connect, then spirit, your cords literally just go psh, wide open, because you've said anything and anyone sort of thing. So anything and anyone can attach to your cords, and they will. You might luck out and get something good, but chances are you'll get something bad, because spirit will allow you to do that in order to teach you a lesson in how to protect yourself, how to stand up for yourself, how to be better prepared. That's why your spirit guides, your ancestors, your gods and goddesses will allow negative things to happen when it comes to being tricked by a spirit, for example. I actually have a story about a friend who came to me wanting to know how to summon gods and goddesses. And this friend had watched me practice for years and years, and she knows how, like, how close I am with so many different types of spirits. So she came to me and was like, how do I go about doing this? So I said, all right, well, you need to put the call out. You need to make sure that you are in a sacred space. It has to be clear, etc., etc., because you don't want any nasties listening in. You don't want any. It's kind of like with Ouija boards or any type of spirit communication tool or divination tool used for spirit communication. If you put the call out to just anyone, you are playing Russian roulette. But when you have a sacred space and it's clear and you are sacred and protected and you're vibing high in a sacred setting, there are rituals that can be done where you can put a call out like this to a specific type of spirit, which is a god or a goddess, and then they will answer. If you don't take the appropriate precautions leading up to that ritual, you're essentially trying to make a phone call private, but you haven't taken the right steps so other people can listen into the call and pick up other phones and listen in through back doors that you don't even know exist. And then they'll step in and then they'll pretend to be something that they're not. I just call these trickster spirits because it's not a type of spirit, it's just an intention that a spirit has. It could be any type of spirit. There's so many different types, more types of spirits than there are forms of life on this planet. So any one of them could be a trickster spirit. They can then, jump in. So I don't know exactly how she went about this. I'm very clear in my instructions when I give people who don't practice the craft a spell or this or that or a technique. I'm very clear and careful to give them protective information that will make sure that things like that don't happen. Again, I don't know how she did it, but she called me and said that she did the contact ritual. She also felt that the spirit Lilith was trying to contact her, and that she was to give a blood offering to this spirit that was claiming to be Lilith. When she told me this, I mean, the very second she told me this, my stomach dropped and I could just sense it. I was like, oh no. I felt terrible. I was like, oh my God, I don't want to knock her off her witchy broom. She's so excited and oh no. Yeah. So a trickster spirit had come in and I said, oh, look. She's like, what? I've done something wrong, haven't I? I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I hate to tell you this, but it's a trickster spirit. I can sense it. It's trying to hide from me, and I can feel it's trying, like it was just kind of like hiding in a different room. Like psychically, it was trying to hide from me. And I was like, I can sense it though. I can feel its fear. It doesn't want to be discovered. This isn't Lilith. And she's like, oh my God, how do we get rid of it? How do we get rid of it? So me and a mutual friend of ours came around. We did a full cleansing, cord cutting, banishing. Then we warded that place like Fort Knox, which I'd already instructed her to do prior to that ritual. I don't think she did. Anyway, but that's a hard lesson learned, and she's all good now. That spirit is gone. We've prayed a blessing over that spirit as well, because evil spirits deserve to be prayed over as well. You don't always have to banish them. Well, I mean, you do have to banish them to protect yourself, but you don't have to do it in a nasty way. You can actually pray some goodness for that spirit, no matter how dark that spirit is. That's another thing I'll get into in another episode. You don't have to, it's optional, but it can be done. So we got rid of it. We had my friend, like, I did all sorts of, I was doing obviously the bulk of it, and I had my friend, the mutual friend. She was chanting and clapping and dancing, and she was raising up some good energy because I was like, you need to just raise as much energy as you can. We need to claim this space. We need to make sure that this spirit knows who it is dealing with and that we love it because we love it for what it did, because now we get to send it some love and light and banish it into a place that is going to be better for this spirit and better for you, because this is what's like, maybe this is why, the spirit has come in and done all this, and it was a really bloody good night. Like, if you asked either one of them, like, we had such a good night from the moment we started that ritual right up until we left. It was just, oh, it was such a beautiful time and such good energy. And it was just beautiful. And again, yeah, we warded that place so that it was protected once the spirit was gone. And then after that, it was probably, I can't remember how long it was, probably about a month or so. She started working with the Fae. The Fae came into her life, and she was like, okay, that's weird. It's not a god or a goddess, but they feel really familiar. And we did some psychic investigating, and, well, I did. And It turns out these spirits had actually followed her, and they'd followed her from a previous house. Now, that's that negative spirit that we banished, I will just quickly say, it also had followed her, and it was very. Some spirits can mask themselves from the best of psychics, depending on their level of vibration, depending on the type of spirit it is. They can be either at the location already, or they could attach to someone in a way that is very hard to identify. And it's not anything on the witch or the psychic or the spiritualist who's trying to identify it that they can't identify it. It could just be that what they're dealing with is either very good at hiding its identity because that's what it's done for so long, or it's just very powerful at, and it can just easily do it without any effort or practice. So we got rid of it. Yeah. So then she started working with a fae. So she started working with a fae, and then I think it was within a few months, she had a goddess start to call to her. And now this is how you know it's a real goddess. So she was getting all these different signs, and I can't remember what they were, but it was all centered around the fae and fairies and spirits trying to contact you sort of signs. She called me one night when I was driving to work, and I was driving down the highway, and she called and said, all this stuff's been happening, and I think Spirit's trying to get in touch with me. And I looked something up, and it turns out that I think the goddess Anya is trying to contact me. I think she's the goddess of the fae or the fairy or whatever you want to call them. And I was like, oi, I am not even joking. I swear this on my life that this is real. For the last like week or two, however long it was at the time, I can't remember. It was for at least a week. I had the name Anya repeating in my head just over and over and over. But I knew it was for something. I knew it was a spiritual message, but I just couldn't place it. And normally when that happens, it's because it's not for me, it's for someone else. But I didn't know who or what it was for. And then when she called and said that, I was like, oh my God, I have had the name Anya or Anyanka, I wasn't sure, but it was repeating in my head for at least a week. And I remembered thinking, oh, this is going to be a thing. And here you are telling me that, the god of the goddess of the Fae, who is called Anya, is trying to reach out. I'm like, girl, what? This is bloody awesome. And that's kind of like Hecate. When she came into my life, she kept repeating her name over and over and over. She just kept saying, Hecate, Hecate, every 10 seconds, without fail, 10 seconds, Hecate. I thought I was losing my mind, like for 2 or 3 weeks, and then it kind of clicked. I was like, oh, is this you, Hecate? Are you trying to come into my life? Give me a sign. And I can't remember what sign it was. She gave me a sign, and I was like, oh, hey. So I did a ritual and acknowledged her and welcomed her in. And we've been working together ever since. She's taught me how to interpret visions, work my magic left, right, and center, connect with my ancestors to retrieve lost tribal information. Oh my goodness, that goddess has blessed me in so many ways. And then I think it was within a couple of months of welcoming her into my life, Zeus came in. Now, I didn't know this at the time, but here's what happened. Here's what happened. I had this sigil flash. I was laying on my bed in a way that I didn't normally do at a time that I normally wouldn't. And I just opened my eyes and this big sigil flashed in front of me, like right over my bed. I saw it crystal clear. I knew exactly how to draw it. And within, I think it was either that night or within, I think it was either that night or 2 to 3 days later, it wasn't more than 3 days later, I had a vision. And in this vision, Zeus came to me. And I wasn't trying to seek Zeus out at all, had no intention of ever working with him. There was like this battle going on, and I was kind of in the middle of it all. It wasn't over me, I don't think, but I was just kind of like caught amongst all this chaos. And it was storming, it was dark, like it was probably maybe like 5, 6 p.m. And it was like really dark and stormy. and rocky, and we were on the shore, like this shoreline, this rocky sort of cliff. And I climbed this cliff, and it turned into a mountain once I started climbing it. And I remembered thinking, I need to get to the top of this mountain. And there was lightning crashing all around me, but I felt kind of safe the more I walked up the mountain. The storm was still raging, but there was the more I walked up the mountain, there was less and less people and less chaos. And then I got to the top, and there's Zeus, glowing, radiant with, oh my goodness, he was just brilliant, like handsome, just it beautiful, just I can't even explain. And let's just say the curtains closed, and Zeus and I were behind them curtains. And you guys could stay on the other side of that curtain, thank you very much. And then I woke up, and oh shit, I had to go and have a cigarette straight away, if you know what I'm saying, okay? And then I found out that I did some research, and it turns out that when Zeus comes to people, both historically and in modern times, it is very, very sexual in nature. Very, let's just say, I don't want to say forceful because then it sounds very rapey, but it wasn't rapey. It was, oh, I remember thinking like I definitely was not initiating anything. It was all him. But I didn't mind, hey. Oh, I did not mind at all. So then that was Zeus. And, you know, I'd met my spirit guide by then. No, I hadn't actually. No, I hadn't. I was working with Hecate. Sorry if you heard a tap. I was just like tapping the table. That's like matter of factly. I was working with Hecate, and within 6 months, I found out who my spirit guide was because I was like, I really want to know. I really want to know. One day, like I was meditating, I got this flash of my granddad who had passed away on the indigenous side of the family, and I was like, oh, maybe it's granddad. I didn't invest in it because I didn't feel 100% certain about it. I just knew that I had seen my granddad's face flash up in a meditation. And that meditation, I was actually trying to see my spirit guide and meet them. So I saw that flash and I was like, okay. And then like a month or two later, I was sitting in my bed, and then this song came on by Air France. I think it's like June Evenings or No Excuses or something. Something by Air France. And I knew a few Air France songs were lined up, and Spirit just said, Mark, meditate to this song. I was like, what? This is not a meditation song. I can't, like, I couldn't even hope to drop into a trance with this music. Maybe just to raise my vibration. Maybe that's what they want. They want me to like raise my happy vibes, because it's very happy, upbeat sort of music. And I'm not joking, you guys, within 30 seconds, I had dropped into like, and I put the music on. I was like, all right, I'll listen to what you guys are saying. I dropped into this trance, like I've never dropped that quick or that hard and fast ever. And it was just like vroom. All of a sudden, I was just completely lucid, but somewhere else. And I was standing in this field, and it was just dark. And I remember seeing kind of like maybe I could see like a meter around me, and I could see that I was standing on, so like, you know, terra firma. But I was like, all right, now I can't see past. Everything is just blanketed in darkness. And when things like, you know, astral projection, lucidity in any capacity, maybe lucid dreaming, whatever, when you become lucid, sometimes oh, I don't know about you guys. For me, I get overexcited because I'm 100% aware of what's happening. I'm like, oh my God, it's happening! That excitement then makes me get too excited, which I guess triggers adrenaline in my body or something, which snaps me back into my body, back into my awareness, and then I've fucked it up, and then I don't get to experience what it was. So I was like, okay, you're somewhere else, you're in your body, but you're somewhere else, your spirit is somewhere else. Okay, don't freak out. This is normal, this is fine, yeah. And I just remember in my head thinking, don't freak out, don't freak out, don't freak out. And I'm like, okay, we're in a vision. All right. Now I can see a meter around me. That's fine. Now let's just try and will our sight past the darkness and let's see through the darkness. Let the darkness lift. Let it lift and let me see past the darkness. With my will, I will it so. And sure enough, the darkness just cleared. And I was staying cool, calm, and collected. I hadn't excitedly snapped myself out of the trance. And then I could see I was standing in this big field. And I could describe the field, it doesn't really matter. But the point is, in this field, all of a sudden, I looked around and I was like, wow, this is really beautiful. And then all of a sudden, this spirit just popped up in front of me. And it looked like this gray kind of static, but I knew who it was. I instantly knew which spirit that was. It was my great-great-grandmother Kitty. And she's the matriarch of our family in the sense that when slavery happened, when all the shit really, I guess the milestones, the big markers in our family, in our story, she plays one of the most crucial roles in our family's history. She is what we look to her for our lessons and our other thing. I mean, we look to other ancestors as well, but she is crucial in our family's story. And I knew it was her. And now, if I had been meditating, just say I was like in a hospital or in the city or something like that, I would not have done this sort of meditation because unless I had protections like charms, amulets, mojo bags, that type of stuff on me that I knew was going to keep me safe, I wouldn't have done it because I knew that where I was doing this meditation, trying to reach out to this spirit or, connecting with this spirit, I wasn't trying to reach out to her. That wasn't my intention. It just happened. But I knew that if I intentionally connect with the spirit, I need to make sure that where I am is safe. My physical body, it's all kind of connected. So if your physical body is in a spiritually safe place, you are more spiritually protected when you're out and about because when your spirit's out of your body, your consciousness has left your body, you are somewhat more vulnerable than when it's in the body. But my room was protected like Fort Bloody Knox. I mean, I kept goetic spirits out like they were nothing. And I didn't even know it was going to do that. It just kind of did that. And I'll explain that whole story in another episode. I'm sorry to keep you hanging, but it was, I knew I was completely safe. And she connected with me and it was just instant telepathy. Like she sent all her thoughts and feelings in one moment. And then I received them in one instant, and I replied in one instant, and it was just like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then she said, Mark, may I enter the vessel with you? Like talking about my body. So I was like, all right, jump on in. So she did. I was snapped back into my body when she did that, and I could feel her in me. And it was the most beautiful, overwhelming, incredible experience. She showed me everything. Like she showed me, but in ways that I understand why she had to jump in my body. It was like, oh my goodness. It was like our thoughts and feelings were one. It wasn't like she had to send them and then I had to receive them and then reply in that same way. It was like, it was just fluid, just one whole fluid. I understood everything she wanted to show me, everything she wanted to tell me, everything she felt and thought about everything. It was really intense. And that lasted for about 15 minutes. I didn't want to let her go. And I remember thinking, like, I could feel my body was, like, I kept crying and it was so powerfully overwhelming. I could feel my body was starting to get drained emotionally, spiritually, in every sense. So I asked her and I just said, hey, look, this is so beautiful. But I'm noticing that I'm not, I'm feeling really drained now. Like I'm emotionally, this is all just a bit too much now for me. So I'm gonna have to ask you to just hop out. But I'm excited to do this again at some point. So she did, she just jumped out and I felt her very clearly leave. And ever since then, she's shown up in other readings, like when psychics do readings for me. She like sits on their lap and sings songs and she's hilarious. Oh, I love her. So That was a beautiful experience. Since then, there's been many other spirits that have come into my life, like Papa Legba, Ezili Dantor, and a djinn. Mind you, the djinn I actually summoned. Hermes, and who else? Baba Luwaye. That's all I can really think of. All of those spirits sought me out. All except for my, obviously my spirit guides, but they were already there. I just needed to know who they were. But all the spirits that I work with sought me out, except for the djinn. The djinn is the only spirit that I have intentionally summoned that I had to request to work with me. And that's a whole story about how I summoned him, and I'll go into that in another episode. But I will say that the very first encounter that I had with a god or a goddess wasn't actually Hecate. It was Apollo. I had summoned Apollo in a very ritualistic sense. I didn't just pray to him for help. So don't think that you can't pray to Apollo for help or that he's going to give you the smackdown like he gave me. Because what I'm about to tell you is a very specific method of summoning a spirit in order to help with a spell. Which is very different than summoning a spirit to ask them something by prayer or by offering. It's very different. So what I did was I summoned Apollo because I hadn't worked with any gods or goddesses at that point, and I was like, I need some healing because I had a flu. And I was just like, oh, it had been like a week or two, and I was like, oh, I was getting better at that point, but I was like, I need to just get over this really quick because I've got a job interview or something was on. So I was like, I need to get ready really quick. I mean, I need to get well really quickly. So I looked up which gods or goddesses could help with healing, and Apollo popped right up. So I was like, all right, Apollo, let's do this. And I did my little thing. I summoned him with no offering. Keep that in mind too. I summoned him in a circle in a very specific way and with no offering. And no prior communication up until that point. At least not in this incarnation, not in this body. And I just basically said, like, I need this healing energy. I need you to dish out this level of healing energy for me because I need this healing. The level of energy it would have taken Apollo to heal my body in the time frame that I was requesting it to be healed. Because I was really, really, really specific. He would have had to pull some serious type of energy that can only really be pulled if you have a strong connection, if you have offered up the right amount of energy for equal exchange. And then on top of that, you need to have a rapport with the spirit that you are requesting the help from. If you're calling them in a ritualistic, witchy, spelly type sense, there's some official words for you. But I didn't have a relationship with Apollo at this point. I didn't even offer him even so much as a glass of water when calling him in this official capacity. And then I asked him to shift an incredible amount of energy in a time frame that is unnatural. I've since been able to do that because I've since then learned through Hecate. Because after that, oh yeah, sorry. So that's right. I did all that. I didn't offer him anything. I didn't know who he like. He didn't know me. I didn't know him very well. And well, he knew me. We just didn't have that rapport. But then because of all of that, and because of the way I went about doing that, he gave me the smackdown of a life. He made my flu so much worse. It was like somebody had just flicked a switch and my immune system just shut off for like a few hours, and I got so sick. Not deathly sick, but like it was like I was back at the beginning or the mid stage of the height of my flu. And I was like, oh my goodness, what is happening? Like it was, I knew this was from the spell, and I was like, what? I'm like, but I've done worse types of magic. Like I have tried to intentionally harm people before, and this didn't happen to me. What is going on? And again, this is all of this trial and error business that they just love putting me through. But that's when I realized, oh, I was disrespectful. I had essentially knocked on the door of Apollo and been like, "Hey Apollo, I need you to shift an incredible amount of energy, put in a hell of a lot of work for me because I need to get better by this time, and in like a day or two, I need to get better. And you need to do this for me. Oh, I haven't got anything to pay you or to offer you for your time and services, but you just need to heal me, thanks." Now, anyone listening to this will understand that's disrespectful. Any spirit you call, you need to call with respect. You need to build that rapport with them before you can just say, like, "Hey, I'm just going to give you a pinch of tobacco and a glass of wine. Can you get me a really good job?" That level of offering will only come once you've built that rapport with that spirit. At the start, you need to go above and beyond to show your appreciation for the time and effort required for that spirit to step in on your behalf and intercede on your behalf. So, if you're working with Hecate or anyone, if you're calling in a god or a goddess, make sure that you give them offerings. Now, spirit will see the intention you have. Spirit knows that if you're broke and you can only afford to go and pick some free flowers in the garden, in the community garden or something, they're going to respect that. They're going to be like, "Wow, look, all they could do was this and that. And it's free. Yeah, it's not the traditional offerings, but they put in more effort doing that, picking that one or two or three flowers, whatever it is." Spirit really acknowledges offerings in terms of effort put in. They do appreciate when you go above and beyond and try and offer them traditionally offered things. They really appreciate that. It's not necessarily that they prefer that, because I've had tons of gods and goddesses and spirits being like, "Oh, really, almonds again, tobacco again, rum again. I want a nice cup of chocolatey Milo. I want half of that pizza you've just made for yourself. I want this and that." Spirit, once you get that connection, you build those cords, you get to know your spirit and you get to know how they talk to you, you will understand everything they want from you. So, around the beginning, just show up, show respect, pay your respects, put in as much effort as you can with the spirits that you are working with, and you will receive the benefits. They will match the level of effort and then some. But you need to bring your A game if you want them to bring their A game. And what I've found with spirit is I don't have to give them daily offerings unless I'm calling in daily things. I don't have to do all these extra things because I have put in so many times, so much effort over the years with certain types of spirit and certain spirits and gods and goddesses that I can just call a favor. Like I could call in Hecate, Papa Legba, and a couple of others, which I won't mention, and just say on the go, I could be out and about and I could just say, "Hey, I need this to happen and I need it to happen now." And they'll do it for me. I won't have to go home and do a spell or petition or this and that. Because I've built these cords, I've put in so much energy, and not because I feel obliged, I don't feel obligated to do these things, I don't see it as a hassle. I see it as an opportunity to connect with something and someone who's having a completely different experience, who's like, if it's an ancestor, it's like, "Wow, I get to connect with you. I don't care what that takes. That's exciting." That to me is more. Is more it's more enriching than the actual practices themselves. I get to connect with a god or a goddess in the same tangible, real way that I can connect with people and friends. I can connect with people in a chat room. I can connect with these spirits in that exact same way. And that to me is just amazing. So I work with them. I do everything I can to strengthen the connection with them, and I do it with gratitude. That's the key. I do it with gratitude. I do it with a humble heart. I do it with everything I've got. If I haven't got the right things that I normally offer them, I say to them, I'm like, "Hey, whatever spirit that I'm friends with, like, hey, look, I know you can hear me. I'm really sorry. I haven't got the money to buy this, or I haven't got the time to do this, or whatever it is. I will do it at a later date, or I will give you this instead. because it's all I can do at the moment, but I'm doing the best I can. And spirit will acknowledge the best that you can. They'll acknowledge it. So don't freak out. Don't be like, oh, I haven't got the right type of offering. Oh, I did it on the wrong day. Oh, I have to wait until this lunar phase. Oh. Nah, just work. Start out if you're starting out. Start with your spirit guides. Start with your ancestors and specify that you want to work with the ones that love and aid you. You want them to help you perfect or at least develop your spirit work. Always make sure you are doing your best to protect yourself. Do reach out to people. By all means, reach out to me if you've got any questions. I'm more than happy to help people so that they don't hurt themselves. But reach out to people, do your research, make sure that you are over-prepared for whatever it is that you're going to do. Whether it's a spell, whether it's a spirit work, whether it's camping, whether it's going to a job interview, make sure you are over-prepared. It is always good to be over-prepared. But especially when you're tinkering with the fabric of the universe or working with spirits that you can't really see. Maybe you can see them, maybe you're clairvoyant, or maybe you can't hear them, maybe you are unfamiliar with them. So, make sure you're protecting yourself. Okay, so I feel like I'm rambling now. If you have any questions, reach out. I'm always happy to talk about spirit or spirit work or protection or anything like that. All my contact details are going to be in the description. By all means, contact me on the Facebook page or my website. And I'm just going to wrap it up there. I want to end this by doing a little bit of energy work. I'm going to start doing fun little games like this, either before, during, or after my episodes. So this one's just going to be a little psychic game to stretch your psychic muscles. And it's going to be a guessing game. I'm going to get you to guess something in a second. But first, maybe it's a color, maybe it's a shape, maybe it's a number, you don't know. And if you do, kudos to you, Gold Star Psychic. All right, so if you want to play this game, by all means, join in. So start by closing your eyes if you can. Only obviously do this if you're in a safe location and you're not operating anything, blah, blah, blah. Close your eyes and just begin to breathe. Slow, deep breaths. And just begin to slow your breathing down. Keep in mind that there's no right or wrong way to do this, as long as you're trying to slow your breathing. Slow, deep breaths. And just continue to breathe in. Slow, deep breaths. Relaxing. Letting go of any tension. Letting go of any energies that are not your own. With every breath, you release any energies that are not your own. With every breath, you ground your energy. With every breath, you center your psychic cords. With every breath, you are shielded and protected. Continue to breathe, slow, deep breaths in and out, feeling your energy being grounded. Feel the grounding, feel your energy centering, feel the shield of protection around you. Feel how light you're feeling as you start to intentionally release any energies that are not your own. Breathing in that clear clarity, that pure energy. And now just take one final deep breath and just sigh it out and just release it. That's it. Okay. And now just begin to breathe normally in a calm, relaxed way. I'm gonna say a number. And I want you to just relax. Don't put any pressure on it. It could be any number at this point. You don't know what number it's going to stretch to. So just relax. You don't need to focus on it just yet. I want you to just ask your spirit guides, the guardians, the gods, the goddesses, the spirits who love and aid you, to help assist you in figuring out what number it is that I'm going to pick. You might see the number as a flash behind your eyelids, like it's on a screen or something. You might just get a sense of what the number is. You might just think you know the number. Whatever it is, it could come in any different way, so don't expect it to come in any sort of way. But I'm about to pick a number. I've picked a number, okay? Now I just want you to ask yourself, what is the number that he is thinking of? Whatever that number is, just accept it. Don't question it. Just accept it. Now I'll let you pause if you need time to pause because you haven't received anything. Just pause the podcast, wait till you receive something, and then continue. But for those of you who have continued, the number was 7. By all means, write in and tell me how you went. That'd be awesome if you got it. If you didn't, that's totally fine. Don't stress. It's probably because you just, either you haven't been stretching your muscles lately, you're a bit stiff, psychically stiff, or maybe you're just not in the right location. Maybe spirit's just like, nope, you're not opening your psychic senses here in this place. Or maybe you're just having a rough week or a rough day. Maybe you've just got a bit too much energy you need to clear. If you didn't get it, it's all good. There's a million reasons why you might not have gotten it. So don't put pressure on yourself. Just wait till the next episode and we'll give it a go again. And it'll be something different, but equally psychically stretchy. Psychically good for you. Okay. I hope you enjoy this episode, guys. Thanks for listening. Blessed be.